Well, we come to the last psukim of the Haftarah Parshas Truma. And the last thing we learn is Pasuk Zayin, V'habayis bihi banai soy even shleima masa nivna. The last thing we learned was that when the Beis HaMikdash was built, it was built of whole stones, and makavais v'hagarzen, kol kli barzel lo nishma v'habayis bihi banai soy. And that no metal utensils were used in the cutting and shaping of the stones in the Beis HaMikdash. It was mentioned yesterday that, by Reb Chaim, that this is really not the Ikar HaDin. That the Chumash says it about the Mizbeach and not about the other stones. As a matter of fact, I took a look. The Rambam, in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, Perek Aleph Halacha Ches writes, when the Beis HaMikdash she's talking about, that the Mishkan is built, you build with large stones, and you could use manufactured bricks. This is what I mentioned yesterday. And it seems in the Rambam that this is a Ikar HaDin in the building of the Beis HaMikdash, even though it's true that the Chumash says it regarding the Mizbeach. Nevertheless, the Rambam says that the stones cannot be cut in the Beis HaMikdash. I mentioned that the other day from the Gemara, Megillah Memches, it's cited the Memches, that the cutting of the stones that took place at the quarry, that could be done with chisels or with metal objects. But it's only the cutting of the stones on the Har HaBayis itself that was not allowed to be done, with any other way. And, the Radvaz here brings that it's a Mechilta, say Parshas Yisrei, where the Chumash talks about the Mizbeach, that the Mechilta says it regarding other things as well. So at any rate, just to set the record straight, it seems that it's an Ikar HaDin. I think it's known that the shamir was used to cut the stones of the ephod, which are also not part of the mizbeach, even part of the building. And the stones of the ephod, Chazal say the lettering on the ephod was done with the shamir, that they used ink to write the lettering on the stones, and the shamir followed the lettering and etched out the letters on the stones of the ephod. So
it had to be done first by hand.
Not the etching, you mean the writing. The writing was done by hand, and then the Shamir apparently followed it along. Okay, we come to the final description, at least in the Haftarah, the Sukkim continue, but in the Haftarah, the final piece of the Beis HaMikdash, which is being described, again, it's not like the Mishkan. It's nothing like what you would expect to see. Judging on learning Chumash and learning Parshas Truma, this was quite different. The difference that's described here is the following. The building, as we said yesterday, the one covered building of the Mishkan or of the Beis HaMikdash was that which housed the Kodesh HaKodeshim, as well as the Kodesh, the place in front of the Kodesh HaKodeshim, which had the Menorah Shulchan and Mizbeach HaKetiris. That area, the Ulam was in front of that. In other words, that what we call the Heichal, actually. That area, then the Ulam was the hallway in front that we learned at the end of the description on Tuesday, which housed some lockers where the Kohanim kept their knives. Now, the outside wall of the building, let's imagine this is the building that has Kodesh HaKadoshim and everything. Now, there were windows. Now we imagine, well, there are windows like there are windows here. You go, you look outside. If it's snowing, you take a look. There was actually a second set of rooms, which was in the perimeter of the building, so that the outside wall, when you're inside, was not truly the outside wall that led to the outside. There was a three-story area, storage area, that surrounded the entire building. And it's called the Yetziyah, the rooms. And that's what's described here. So let's read it, and we'll see what we can talk about. Pesach Hatzela, Hatichayna, El Kesef HaBayis HaYemanis. Right. We're describing these rooms that... I'm sorry, I have to go back. The last pasuk, we're almost pasuk dalet. We have to pasuk kev. Even al kir habayis. We discussed the etching. We didn't. We're talking now about the walls around this building. Even al kir habayis yotzias saviv, and built in the wall of the house of the building were passageways or rooms all around. As kiras habayis saviv lahechol vladvir. The kiras that surrounded both the building itself and the front hall area. Vayas Saloi Saviv, and it had rooms all around. Hayitzia HaTachtoina, that was three stories. The lower level, Chamesh Ba'ama Rachba, five Amis across. It wasn't a gigantic room, but it wasn't a tiny room either. It was five Amis, which is about 8 or 9 feet across. Rachba, Vatichaina, and the center floor, Shesh Ba'ama, was an Amma wider. How did that happen? Rachba. The reason they, the way they did it was this. To have three stories, you have to have a floor between the bottom floor and the second floor, between the second and third. What they did is not the way we do it. What? There's no bottom floor.
There's no bottom floor. You can, if you're selling rooms, the first floor is the first bedroom, which is going to be one flight up.
One flight up. Okay. So there were three flights. The pasuk actually calls the tichayno, the central floor, the first floor, the central floor, the top floor. What they did is this: since there was no banging holes in anything, what they did is they took an area seven amis wide, it was more than seven amis wide. It was seven amis plus a wall. The outside wall. The outside walls went up the first floor, and then the wall was so thick it had enough room to be indented in Amma, go up another floor, be indented in Amma, go up another floor. So to put planks for the next floor, you didn't have to knock any nails into the wall. You just put the planks on this extension. This is the way the extension is made. A ledge is made, and it's quite a big ledge because it's an Amma total. On each side, it's about 9 feet, nine inches.
To hold the planks,
9 inches on each side is more than enough. Right, that's where you're resting the boards. These are the planks that are on the floor. So you have these 10-foot planks.
On the floor?
You see, you put weight on the planks. Have a lot of room on the edges.
No, how much room do you think we have over here? How much? How thick is this whole wall that behind me that the beams? What are they resting on? They're resting on. You have a beam going up, and you have another beam resting on it. This is much more than 10 feet across. It's not so wide. Well, they didn't need beams. The entire wall was the beam. The entire thickness of the two side walls was the beam, and it would be placed across it, resting on both sides. And it didn't sag in the middle for the same reason. If it's thick enough, it doesn't sag in the middle. So, no, it was a rectangle. It was rectangular all the way up. But what was done basically is here was the first floor. And then you had the next floor. So these are the side walls that it extends. It doesn't indent it. Is the extent correct, the word? It goes out, and then it goes up again. You put the plank here across, and it rests, and it's only 10 feet across. And that's the way. The outer wall, the very outside, was straight, but on the inside, it was a beautiful diagram. Artistically done. What? No, because the planks were lined one next to each other. There was no room for them to move. They were lined up from the southern wall to the northern wall all the way. There was just no room for them. They were lined up, you know, like the tissues don't move in the box. They're lined up, they're crammed in. Well, there were a number of times that the house was refurbished. The Beis HaMikdash had a lot of wear and tear. And we find in Nach that it was refurbished. And it's that Parapashas Kisisa that describes original failed system of maintenance. We'll get to it. Okay, they had one system of maintenance in the base of English, and it, It relied to a great part on the people, and it flopped, and then they had to have an administration to make it happen. I will read about it when we get there. But anyway, this is the way this chamber was built. Ki migrois nosan labayis. Migrois means these indentations outwards. Saviv chutza lebilti achayis bekiras habayis. So it wasn't necessary to insert the walls into the kira, to make holes into the walls of the house. Pasuk Zayin, which I read before, v'habayis bibanasai evan shleima maso nivne, made with whole stones, makavais v'hagarz and kol klibarz ala nishba b'habayis bibanasai, and it fits here, because we're describing why it was done this way with the indentations, because no metal was used, nothing was chiseled into the wall. Pesach hatzela hatichayna al kesef habayis hayimanis. The word tichayna is used, Rashi points out, in a very strange way in this parak, in this pasuk. It's used to mean the bottom floor and then the middle floor. The opening to this entire area, there was no opening on the second floor outwards. Again, if the sefer in front of me is the heichal, so you have these chambers all around, U-shaped, all around the building. There was only an entrance from the outside, going inwards, and El Kesef Habayis HaYamanis, to the shoulder of the house on the right side, Ubelulim Yalu Al Tichayna, and they had spiral staircases going up El Tichayna, Min Atichayna El Ashlishim, going up in each floor. They had a spiral staircase. That's the makor for Jewish homes having spiral staircases today. It's based on this. And the house was built. It was completed. Gave him usteres barazim, and they made ceilings for the house with the beautiful cedar wood and decorated wood. Each floor was 5 amis high. And cedar wood, so that the walls were stone, but the wood was what the insides were made of. Now, as a Levi, I have to add, there is a halacha in the Beis Hamikdash of Shmira. Us Levim were in charge of singing and guarding. So the singer sang and the guard is guarded. What did they guard against? What did they guard against? They didn't guard against anything. The Shmira was an honor guard. It was made not because they were afraid anybody would steal anything, but an honor guard. The honor guard was at every opening, every doorway in the entire building had either one or two, usually two Levim, that their job was to guard it a whole night. And that was the night Shmira. There was a kohen in charge of inspecting the guards. He would do, what do we call it in camp, when you went around at night?
Night patrol.
OD, okay. So we were the night patrol, we'd go around. And, the Levium were, had to be found awake. If they were sleeping, it says the kohenim had rishus to light their clothing. Which would be a nice way of waking them up. So they stayed up. Now, the Gemara says in Perakes Elvakaimon in Svachim that the guards guarded this space as well. Now, this is a place that no one could go for no reason. This is beyond the Mizbeach. Right? You have the Ezra Sanashim, the Ezra Sisrael, and then the place where only Kohanim could go, around the Mizbeach. And behind the Mizbeach was this building. And us, Levim, were entitled to go there every night. The job was to go there and to be guards at this door. Not only that. The Gemara says there was something they called the Parbar. Peiresh, Beisresh. Parbar was a name for the Mariv side, for the western side of this building. Now, we used to facing east when we daven. That's just an accident of geography. We face the Beis Hamikdash. Our job is not to face east. If you're in America, you face east. If you're in Russia, you face west. Because, southwest. If you're in Tzfas, you face straight south. In Beersheba, you face north. In the Beis Hamikdash, they didn't face east. They faced west.
Right.
The entrance was on the eastern side.
Yeah.
and the Beis Hamikdash, they faced the western side. It says that the Ovdei Avodah Zarah who bowed to the sun would turn their backs to the Beis Hamikdash and bow facing east. Yeah. At any rate, my point is, there was on the outer side of the Kodesh HaKodesh, and you're talking about a place that people are not allowed to walk for nothing. You walk along the outside of the building to the far side, where the Kodesh HaKodesh is. They had a doorway in the outside of the Kodesh HaKodesh. That doorway had no function other than to be a place for the honor God. And at the Parbar, the Levim, who was Zaycha, this was the coveted position. They got to walk where nobody walked. There was no time during the year that anybody was permitted to walk there, except to do construction, to do repairs, a tenai was made that during the time that there was a lot of traffic in the Beis Hamikdash, and karbanis had to be eaten, in the Kodesh Kodesh, Kodesh Kodesh had to be eaten in that area, they were allowed to eat there as well. But besides that, the Kainim would eat there. Kainim, Mishayim, Zichrei Kuna, I made that mistake once before. Zichrei Kuna could eat, not only eat there, but make a campfire. Because when you eat the meat of a Karban Chatos, or a Karban Asham, you have to eat it roasted. So they would do it there. And anyway, in the Cholim B'chol Machol, they could cook it as well. But anyway, Kodesh Kodeshim was in the west.
In the west?
In the west.
Really? Because we're in the Ezra's Nashim.
We're east facing the Bay of West.
They were still facing west?
They were facing west. The Mizbeah stood on, it was a ramp. The northern side was the Beis HaMitbachaya, the Shechita area.
They were facing the Kodesh Kodeshim there.
The Kodesh Kodeshim was in the westernmost point.
So people in the Ezra's Nashim, were they facing the Kodesh Kodeshim when they were down in Shemesh?
Of course.
They were facing.
Yeah. They actually faced the west.
You've seen on the Kodesh that
you've
seen.
Also, Rabbi is on the...
Western wall.
It's after the Kodesh HaKodesh.
Behind the Kodesh HaKodesh.
That's right.
That's right.
It's misleading today when you look at the Temple Mount. It's rectangular. It was not rectangular in the time of Beis Hamikdash. It was square. It was 500 amos, 500 amos. Herod, when he extended the Beis Hamikdash, extended it, and it became rectangular. Were they giving the women of the wall a place to daven now? It's really a joke. I don't know why anybody's protesting it. They really threw them out. They put them into the garbage dump. Because that area is not even near the Beis Hamikdash. It's nearer to the Beis Hamikdash than Brooklyn. But it's not, that's Herod's extension. That didn't exist in the time of the Beis Hamikdash. There's no Kedusha to with her in the southern excavations. That's not the Beis Hamikdash. You're allowed to walk there on the other side of the Kaisel.
There are gates that you can go into the Beis Hamikdash from the southern excavation.
I'm not familiar. The southern excavation was part of Herod's Beis Hamikdash, which had no Kedusha at all. It had Kedusha in Yerushalayim, but it didn't have Kedusha in the Beis Hamikdash. It was not. Herod, that was a valley. Herod filled it in with earth. It was a valley. Beis Hamikdash was on a platform that was square, 500 amos by 500 amos. A square area, and Herod extended it.
He made it square and, by filling up the valley. And
yeah, somebody forwarded me an article. I say forwarded, I don't mean by email, but by hand. Forwarded me an article written by one of the conservadox founders of the Women of the Wall, which goes back 30, 40 years, with her disappointment at what she calls a great joke. That the Orthodox are complaining that you're getting it there, right? No, we would complain if there's that type of minion anywhere in Yerushalayim, so we're complaining. But it's not the Kaisel. There's nothing to do with the Kaisel. It's just an accommodation.
That extension of the wall is the same Kedusha as, let's say, the Kotel HaMaaroni.
Well, it's Yerushalayim. The outside of the Kaisel is Yerushalayim, but the other side of the Kaisel is the Harabayas, and the other side of that wall is in other words, it's correct that where we stand when we dominate the Kotel and where they'll be standing there is probably the same. But the other side of the wall is not the same thing.